film, and today video game music commentator Dr. Scott Stewart is in the studio to bring us music from this multi-billion dollar wing of the film and television music industry. Welcome, Scott.
Hey. Welcome. Thank you, Aaron. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. And that little intro music that we're hearing was from Nintendo's action-adventure video game called Super Metroid, released back in 1994. Really thrilling soundtrack music by Kenji Yamamoto and Minako Hamano from Japan. The video game culture has exploded in the past several years, and what was once maybe viewed as a nerdy niche market is now mainstream and pulling in big bucks. Aaron, the mobile gaming industry alone topped over $25 billion in sales last year, and is expected to go up to $30.3 billion this year.
Wow.
This has, as you can imagine, translated into some lucrative careers and opportunities for composers that are attached to these video games. Now, Aaron, I have to ask you if you recognize this little theme song.
Yes, because I love Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man, but you know, I was just a newborn in the 80s.
Yeah, well, thanks for reminding me about that. But yes, this is indeed the Pac-Man theme, one of the classics of the video game medium and a cultural icon for all of the 1980s. And I bring this up to draw attention to the fact that video games themselves have changed wildly in the past 25 or 30 years. And Pac-Man was a game where you'd go to the mall and you'd go to an arcade, and they had all the, you know, machines grouped by sports games and card games and the pinball machines, and then what was hot, and usually that was Pac-Man or Space Invaders. You put a quarter in, and then that little theme song would play, and then, you know, there was a little yellow head running around munching on pellets, and you had kind of pellet munching sound effects in the background, and that was kind of the extent of the music. But video game music has evolved from these bloops and blops to these full-blown cinematic soundtracks that involve not just maybe 90 minutes or so of music that you might expect with a two-hour Hollywood feature film, but up to 10 or 12 hours of recorded music. Here, for example, is a track from the video game called Dragon Age Inquisition. This is music of Trevor Morris, and you can tell from the full use of orchestra, the choir that's back there, and that huge lineup of percussion, that this is symphonic, movie soundtrack-like in its scope, far, far away from those synthesized snippets of the 1980s.
But it makes sense, right? Because video games could be considered an extension of television and movies, so it seems kind of natural that music would take its place as a great storyteller along this medium.
Right, exactly. And I think that as video games have become more technologically advanced and incorporated storylines and narratives, music has followed suit. Popular arcade video games of the 80s, like Pac-Man and Space Invaders and Super Mario Brothers, were fairly two-dimensional in their visual field and singular in their plots, either munching pellets or shooting aliens dropping from the top of the screen, and had really pretty simple to our ears computer-sounding music.
That's about as simple, or that's about as complex as I get with video games, is a man munching pellets. So how would you say that modern video games and movies differ in their approach to soundtracks?
I think the starkest difference in my mind is that while the plot of a movie or a television show is completely controlled by the writers and the director, the plot, if you will, and the pacing of a video game is determined by choices that are made by the player. So if you're walking down this hallway, this music plays, and if you leap across this moat, the moat leaping music plays, and if, oh, there's a troll, and the troll music plays. Some other issues to think about are that in this type of music, it's composed to be looped or repeated for as long as a character is in the same physical or emotional space. There's not much dialogue, so music levels can be hotter or higher than they are in movies and TV, and gamers visit video games over and over again, whereas movie watchers either watch once or revisit their favorite films once in a while.
So I'm hearing that like a video game genre as a whole has evolved from its origins in the late 70s, early 80s, and it also sounds like individual video games have grown and changed.
Yeah, and this has been a really interesting trend. So Tetris, for example, was released back in 1984, about the same time as Pac-Man, made hugely popular by Game Boy when they came out in 1989, and is one of the, if not the top-selling video games of all time. Here's the original Tetris theme.
That sounds like it's right out of Fiddler in the Roof.
It could be. This is actually an old Russian folk song called Korobianiki, and
whoa,
there are dozens of versions of this, and I'm talking string quartets and classical guitar versions, rock band tunes, dubstep, techno remixes, you name it. Tetris has been set musically, and even the London Philharmonic Orchestra and conductor Andrew Skeet have released two albums of video game music and symphonicized some of these themes, if you will. Here's what the orchestrated version of Tetris sounds like. It reinforces this notion that this is really good music capable of being set in many different formats. It gives video games greater depth of feeling than that more outdated synthesizer setting. And another klezmer-sounding tune of recent times is the theme to Angry Birds. Now, it's not that launching cardinals over housing structures is way more sophisticated than blasting aliens on your screen, but we already have a more interesting digital theme song to Angry Birds. This is music of Finnish composer Ari Pulkkinen from 2009, and it was in 2011 that the London Symphony released their orchestral version of Angry Birds.
You can really hear the dark humor of it's Angry Birds in that music.
Definitely in there, yeah.
Yeah. So more contemporary gaming has become a lot more involved and complex, including the integration of social media and international connections with multiplayer online games. Where has the music gone with those?
Well, let's take a listen to the main theme from Legend of Zelda. This is an old franchise, but it is updated frequently. This is a fantasy action adventure game from Nintendo where you're always off to rescue the princess.
Oh, of course.
I think this music could be imported into any of the superhero blockbusters from this summer. It's clearly right up there with Hollywood feature film soundtracks. The main theme here from Legend of Zelda is scored by Koji Kondo, and he's one of the most popular composers in the gaming business. You can tell this is fully fleshed out symphonically in terms of having a heroic theme, really rich and interesting orchestration, and great rhythmic vitality.
Yeah, and there's that rhythmic pattern in there that works with old westerns.
And Superman, I think there may have been some musical borrowing involved
there. I see. The music seems to be playing a much larger role in these types of games.
I agree. And what I love about this series is that part of Legend of Zelda involves solving puzzles in order to rescue the princess. And often you need the help of musical instruments to do that, especially in the Ocarina of Time version. There's a really great cue from Wind Waker. This is the 10th of all the Zeldas, called Dragon Roost Island. And this is composed by Kenta Nagata. I think it's nice that we're starting to have video game music that is not all in the action adventure genre. It's starting to branch out a bit.
Right, because a lot of the games feature hard-hitting war plots and car races and yes, medieval fantasy, and the music is just so epic. It's nice to have it.
It is very
change.
Epic. And as you can imagine, this over-the-top drama that can be generated from the combination of the music and these really high-tech visuals are at a premium right now. So if you take Assassin's Creed, one of the major sellers right now, we have a actually successful television and film composer, Lauren Balfe, who has scored the soundtrack. This reminds me of the Jason Bourne scores by John Powell. It's this really relentless, intense, driving theme with contemporary energy. Lauren Balfe, who's Scottish, received a BAFTA nomination for Best Video Game Score for Assassin's Creed 3. And you're going to start seeing more of this, Aaron, where Grammys and BAFTA and Golden Globe are honoring video game composition as a part of the entertainment industry.
As they should.
Yeah. I've also been following the music of Jeremy Sewell quite a bit. Jeremy Sewell is a remarkable talent and one of the most active video game composers today. He's been working on the Elder Scrolls series, and that's brought him a lot of acclaim. Here's a track from the Dragonborn installment.
It has lyrics. That's unusual.
Well, in case you didn't recognize that language, that's Draconian, the language of dragons. And so the level of detail that's going into the music and to the text is stunning. This soundtrack is every bit as massive and sweeping as playing the game. And if you buy the commercial version of the soundtrack, it takes up 4 compact discs for this version alone.
It sounded like Carmina Burana,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's definitely some of that massive raw power from ancient times that's woven into this entire series.
Right, raw ancient power updated symphonically.
Exactly.
So I'm seeing that a reported 49% of Americans are involved with gaming. So that's like 155 million-ish people.
That's amazing.
I would expect that we have a lot more to talk about with the music for video games.
This is just the tip of the iceberg, Aaron. Gaming has overthrown Hollywood financially and is only bound to gain in popularity. I think this is a really fascinating wing of the music composition business to pay really close attention to.
Well, I'd love to have you in again to talk about some more video game music.
We'll set it up.
All right. Thanks for bringing us all of this new music and a lot to think about. Scott Stewart is our City Lights film and video game music commentator. He's also host of WABE's Strike Up the Band, airing Tuesday nights at 9 here on 90.1. There's a new episode tonight.